Amen. How are you all doing today? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the great moms that are here this morning. Father, we ask you to bless our time here today, Lord. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, and at the same time a burden and a passion to share your truth today, Father. Your word tells us to worship you in spirit and truth. Your word tells us to love unabounding, Father. Your word tells us to forgive, Lord. And I just ask you to invade our hearts today, Father, as we get into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see the title of the message today here on May 10th, 2015, The Voice That Changes Everything. An excerpt from a book called A Woman That Jesus Can Teach by Alice Matthews said, "We seldom move from one comfortable level of learning and knowing to another unless we are forced in some way to move." Anybody want to be moved here today? The book goes on and says, "We don't do ourselves a favor if we insist on staying at one learning level when we need to move to one to another one. We often don't like the circumstances that push us to change. We prefer to be left alone in our comfortable tranquility. But this is not the path to growth, nor is it the path to true discipleship. In your listening guide, here is your first fill-in. If we are to grow as a Christian woman in our understanding of God, we have to expect the tough circumstances that confront and disappoint us. It takes grim life experiences to build muscle into our souls. The process of following Jesus as his disciples is a process of making room for new ways of looking at life and looking at ourselves. Jesus was the master teacher. We might have expected him to use only one method for getting his message across, but he taught different people in different ways. Now, we might think that Jesus would choose only the most promising pupils for his class. Instead, he included men and women other teachers probably ignored. One choice pupil of the master teacher Jesus that I would like to highlight on this Mother's Day 2015 is Mary Magdalene. She possibly spent more time with Jesus than any other woman of the Gospels. I think Mary Magdalene found that her discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ was a constant learning process. We all have to realize that men, women, teenagers, children, as Christians, we will always be in a constant learning process. Mary Magdalene had learned much as one who traveled with Jesus. But in one of the final scenes of the gospel, she was once again back in school, learning something new about being a disciple. Mary Magdalene was mentioned 14 times in the gospels. We actually know four things about her. The first two we see in Luke 8:1-3. And the scripture says this: "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 70 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means." So four facts this morning about Mary Magdalene. One, Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. The Bible doesn't say where or when. Both Mark and Luke share this information, but neither gives us the story about it. But what it meant for Mary to be possessed by 7 demons, we cannot guess. But for her, deliverance must have been a life-changing liberation. Her bound spirit was set free. Her crippled limbs relaxed. Her contorted face became serene. Number two, the second thing we know about Mary Magdalene is that she traveled all over Galilee and down to Judea with Jesus and the 12. She had a terrible affliction, and she met the one who healed her, and she probably wanted to stay with those who followed Jesus. There might be someone here today, a mom, a wife, even a father, a husband, or a teenager who has been going through a tough time, a trial, a misfortune, a suffering, an ordeal, a difficulty, or some trouble. Maybe you have been distressed by something. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is a miracle maker. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, look around, Because you have witnesses surrounding you right now. The Word of God says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right-hand throne of God. For consider Him who had endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus had healed Mary, called Magdalene, from 7 demons. Then she traveled with Him in the 12, as well as some women who had been cured from evil spirits and diseases. I hope everyone seated here today chooses to follow Jesus. The third thing the Bible tells us about Mary Magdalene is that on a bad Friday called Good Friday, she stayed at the cross long enough after disciples had fled. Look at Mark 15, 40 and 41. There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, the less, and Josie and Salome. When He was in Galilee, they used to follow Him and minister Him, and there were many other women who came up with Him to Jerusalem. All four gospel writers take pains to tell us that Mary and the other women not only stayed through the awful hours of crucifixion, but made sure that they knew where Jesus had been buried so they could come after the Sabbath and finish anointing the body. When we look at Mary Magdalene and the others, we see women who were completely committed to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of their bitter grief. It comes as no surprise that we find these same women with Mary Magdalene apparently leading them up before dawn on Sunday morning, hurrying to the garden tomb. As they went, I'm sure they were fretting about a very real problem that they were going to face. Who was going to roll that large stone at the entrance of the tomb so that they could prepare a dead body for proper burial? I'm sure they knew the size of the stone. They had watched as Joseph and Nicodemus hastily laid Jesus' body in the tomb and rolled the heavy cartwheel stone across the opening. They knew the stone was sealed by the Roman government and that the seal could not be broken. They had cared for His needs for 3 years as He traveled around Galilee and back and forth from Judea. And when they arrived, what did they find? And Mark told us, Mark 16:4. Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. If you think about it, in that moment began Mary's next lesson in her discipleship. She had set out that morning with one set of expectations and quickly found them turned upside down. Has a mom ever had a day like that? John reports the incident in this way. John chapter 20, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. She so ran and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid Him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, and he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following Him and entered the tomb and saw the linen wrappings lying there. Verse 7 says, "And the face cloth which had been on His head, not lying there with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself." Verse 8 says, "So the other disciple who had came first to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead." So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11 says this, "But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked inside the tomb." The highs and lows of that week probably all flowed together for Mary. She probably felt the sting of contradiction as she remembered hearing the crowds chant, "Hosanna, Hosanna," one day, and then "Away with Him, crucify Him," a few days later. As a mom, how many times have you experienced one day you're the greatest and the next day you might hear the words, "I hate you," or "You don't love me," or "You don't care for me," or "You won't let me do this"? Mary Magdalene, who had experienced that emotional roller coaster, now stood at the tomb, wrung out, devastated by the thought that even in death, Jesus was dishonored. His body had been taken. Her wrenching soul sobs expressed all the dashed hopes and desperation she felt. Do you know any moms today whose hopes have been dashed and desperation is setting in? Check out verses 11 and 14 of John 20. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stood and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. As a mom, have you ever wondered, where is my Lord? I'm hurting. I'm suffering. I'm in distress. Where is my Lord? Blinded by her grief, Mary Magdalene turned away from them. And as she turned, she saw a man standing nearby. And she spoke the same word she had just heard from the angels. 15 through 18 of John 20. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to the brethren and say to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. So the question for us today, what did it take to move Mary from desolation to exaltation and to galvanize her for a witness? Only one thing. Jesus spoke her name in a voice she knew, and it was enough. Suddenly, everything that had been all wrong was now right. The one who had been dead is now alive. The one who had delivered her from seven demons was once again with her. In her ecstatic joy, she flung her arms around him, and Jesus gently disengaged her clinging hold on his body and gave her a task. Go and tell my brethren. In a split second, this disciple, Mary Magdalene, moved from abject sorrow to euphoria. The teacher's alive, and now she had work to do. Which brings us to the fourth thing we know about Mary Magdalene. She was sent by Jesus as the first witness to the resurrection. He commissioned her to tell his brethren, his brothers, the good news. Augustine, a Latin philosopher and theologian that lived from 354 to 430, called Mary Magdalene this, an apostle to the apostles. Mary knew Jesus' voice when he spoke to her. To her, Jesus gave her a commission. Go and tell. And although this is the last mention of her in the Bible, John 20, 11 through 18, she was probably among the women who gathered with the apostles to wait for the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. And when you open up God's Word, you can read what Jesus said over 2,000 years ago, and he's still calling people today, just like he did to Mary Magdalene so many years ago, and his voice told us, Come to me. All you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Two quick passages I'll close with. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and he will come to them and make our home with them. John 14, 16 and 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. Is there any woman here this morning, any mom, who would like to receive Jesus today? Thank you, Father. Ushers, come forward. Father, thank you for this time today, Lord. Thank you that we can come together and gather together and fellowship together and pray with one another and witness to one another and praise you and sing to one another to you, Father. So, Father, I thank you for this time today, Lord. I pray for all the moms here, Lord. I pray if there's a mom that doesn't know you, Lord, that they will walk forward here while we're collecting this offering and playing this song in adoration to you, Jesus. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.